Derek, you know, I was thinking about doing kind of a kitschy, cool holiday intro, but then I realized I'm the Mariah Carey of this podcast. I've been cranking out number one hits since the 90s. I look great in a sequin mini dress. And damn it, there is no way I'm bending to the will of the man.
Oh, we're playing Two Truths and a Lie tonight.
We could.
Okay. Well, you just started, so let's see. I got to go with the lie is you don't look great in a sequin mini dress.
Derek, have you ever seen me in a sequin mini dress?
Only in my nightmares.
Do not question it. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Also can't sing, but that's okay. It's never stopped me from singing on this podcast. Anyway, welcome to this week's edition of Cheaters Never Win, highlighted by one of the members of the Carolina Hurricanes. Stopped by a little bit earlier to have a conversation with us. Stick around for the conversation with Calvin DeHaan, 44 in your programs, number one in your heart. Quite possibly one of our favorite current personalities on the team.
Yeah, I mentioned to you after we recorded, and you know, kind of a tease here, but really enjoyed talking with him. Enjoyed talking with him at Media Day. Everything we've seen with his interactions so far, like, he is high on the list of Canes that I want to have a beer with. Just a really good guy, enjoys chatting. He was just so agreeable before we started recording with him, and afterwards, you know, when we say, okay, thanks, we're clear, have a good night, he's like, oh yeah, you know, just so friendly. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. And for those of you who may have listened to last week's podcast and wondering why Peter Mrazek is not on this week's podcast, bigger name. I mean, Calvin DeHaan, big free agent signing, owns a brewery.
Makes four times the money.
Makes a lot more money. So we had to bump Peter Mrazek this week. We hope to have Peter Mrazek on next week to talk about his views on said name of said podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, stick around, Calvin DeHaan, after we get through everything. Derek, not a lot of Canes hockey action to talk about since the last time you and I were together here at the Worldwide Headquarters. Game against Washington, game against Arizona, 3 out of 4 points, seemingly a good thing. Nothing we could complain about. 3 out of 4 points when you have the Stanley Cup champions coming to town, right?
Oh no, there's plenty to complain about. That Washington game was very eventful. A lot of things happened. A lot of things we can talk about. And you know, everybody just reacted very calmly to the way we lost that game in a shootout.
The Washington game was interesting because we weren't in our normal seats. I want to give a quick thank you to my beautiful bride, no longer on the Twitter, formerly at Raleigh Monkey. She treated us to a nice upgraded seat experience in honor of birthday and holiday celebration. So that was phenomenal. Thank you for that. But it was cool to have a little bit different view. I might have wanted to have been in the last seat of Carter Finley to see that Alex Ovechkin hat trick, though.
Here's my thought. Sitting down lower, and we were in the suite around in the 124 area, so we had that basically the same angle, but lower. Sitting down lower, Mike, it was so obvious to me that Aho and Svechnikov are the most talented forwards this team has. Just the little things that they do, the way they win individual battles, the speed with which they can make things happen, and their vision are so much more noticeable from downstairs than they are from upstairs.
Yeah, it's this team has the talent on defense and on one line to be really good.
I think, though, the problem might be that there are more lines required. Well, unless you're Colorado.
I mean, Jordan, what? But Jordan Staal comes back and takes his rightful spot on the third line. Michael Ferland. Michael Ferland.
Oh, Mike.
Michael
you must Ferland be new here.
Comes back and does his thing. It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's changes happening around the National Hockey League right now. Philadelphia fired their coach this week. If they don't turn it around, you have to assume Philadelphia might be making some changes soon. They have a few free agents of interest that might be able to make this team better. New Jersey is horribly underperforming based upon what they did last year. I don't think any of us thought that was going to be sustainable.
Any chance that we have like a second pairing defenseman that we could trade straight up for Taylor Hall? How about Brett Pesce for Taylor Hall?
I mean, what we don't have is Adam Larson, but I mean, the closest thing to Adam Larson might be, I mean, It's either Brett Pesce or Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I'm not wholly sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go former first-round draft pick Hayden Fleury for Taylor Hall.
Sure. I'll do any of those.
Yeah.
Sign me up right now. Mike, I'm willing to go out on that limb. I would trade any of those three defensemen for Taylor Hall.
Jake Bean?
I would also trade Jake Bean for Taylor Hall.
Roland McEwen.
Would trade for Taylor Hall.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this Canes team. Again, rolling into a big five-game homestand. Currently 1-0-1 on the homestand. Detroit coming in here tomorrow night. Then Pittsburgh. Then Boston on Whalers night. So we need... I think we need at least 4 points out of the next couple of games. That gives us 7 points out of a five-game homestand. 7 points in five games is what we need. For the most part, we've got a little catching up to do, though. So we need to go on a bit of a run and do something different. But what we haven't done is while we've played the Islanders a little bit, we haven't played a ton of games against Philadelphia. We haven't had a chance to roll through New Jersey a lot. So we do get the bottom half of the Metropolitan Division still to come. So it's going to be interesting to see as we get into really now kind of the heart of the season, what this team can do and what they're made of. Again, 32 points, 33 points, 30 games into the season, something like that. I mean, I'm sure you could find this stuff on NHL.com/standings, but that's the shorter sort of show prep we do because we love you people that much. Yeah, I mean, we're close. The team has the opportunity to make some moves. And I think that's the most interesting thing, Derek. And we, as a lot of Caniacs and Caniac Twitter like to rail on what this team currently is and how it's currently doing, we haven't yet reached the halfway point of the season where teams begin to separate the haves from the have-nots and the have-nots begin to look to the future. Again, Philadelphia made that change with Dave Hakstol this week. If they don't do something in the next 10 to 15 games, they're going to look to be able to figure out what they can do with their impending free agents.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey, the likes of St. Louis out west. I know there's a certain number 91 on St. Louis that you have a slight interest in.
Well, Jeremy Rutherford said that pretty much anybody is available in St. Louis and that they're listening to offers for anybody. That doesn't mean that they're going to trade anybody or specifically trade everybody because that's just not practical. But they're listening to whoever wants to make a good offer for any of their players. And Tarasenko right now, I forget if we talked about it on the podcast last week or if he just talked about it in person, but he's a guy who's making $6.5 million for the next few years and has a no-trade clause that kicks in at the end of this season. Reasonable contract, young enough guy, high-end talent. Oh, yeah, we did talk about it because I mentioned how many goals he has in the last 4 years. Give me Tarasenko. Just, you know, for fun times.
Yeah, I mean, there are...
I'll trade Jake Bean for him.
Jake Bean, Roland McEwen, and a player to be named Chad LaRose.
Why would you doom that player?
I don't know. Derek, what I want to... I've been accused of being the glass half full guy, the optimist guy. We're not halfway through the season. We're within striking distance of the playoffs. The Metropolitan Division is a tire fire. And I hate to say this, but the Stanley Cup opponent out of the Eastern Conference is most likely coming out of the Atlantic Division regardless. So let's see what happens. Let's keep the faith a little bit, and let's trade for Vlad Tarasenko and Wayne Simmons and I don't know, maybe Matt Duchene because he's a free agent next year too, and let's get those guys in here and see what happens.
So you just want to stop treading water?
Yeah, I mean, let's not bury the lead, but if the Canes don't figure out a way to get above the Mendoza line here shortly, there might be a new shirt on section328.com. That is sad and beautiful. You know how you get those t-shirts, Derek?
How's that, Mike?
You hit that damn X button.
Ladies
and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's edition of Cheaters Never Win, brought to you by the good folks at BottleMix, brought to you by Dawn from Fathom Realty. She is at Caniac_Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
Also brought to you by us. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're we're both proud partners of the Sports Channel 8 podcast family, even though that rat bastard Hayes Permar didn't even have the goddamn common decency to invite us to his little Christmas party. Thanks, Hayes. You can listen to them on some radio station at some time over the weekend, and guess what? I won't be nude listening to it from now on. Thanks.
Wow. I think that may have been the most disparaging thing I've heard about the Sports Channel 8 radio show outside of the 99.9 The Fan Twitter account.
Wow. You know, rest in peace, Steve Logan. I have no idea where this is going, but still a proud part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network.
Pew!
Womp, womp. Derek, again, two games. Washington game was fun. A lot of controversy during the Washington game about hats being thrown on our ice. I think you and I may have actually differed on this. I was like, he's the greatest freaking goal scorer of all time. No big deal.
No, don't get me wrong. Because I was the one who mashed that tweet button about how it's embarrassing to see that. And that's not, I take issue with Caps fans for doing it. It's, one, don't let the opponent score a hat trick on you.
Exactly.
Two, have enough home fans where that's not a thing. Where if like it's 5 or 10 people that throw a hat, you go, okay, there's a handful of people. But there were dozens of hats that hit that ice, and that was what I was upset about.
I
want more home fans there. That's my big thing.
Well,
here's
one of the things too. I think, I don't know whether it's group sales or how it is, but there is always a small section where I guess opponents have the ability to buy the seats down near the ice. I don't know the section. It's on the end where the opposing team or the Canes. Mm-hmm. The opposing team gets to shoot twice. It's downstairs. It seems like there's about 20 rows.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether Kane's intention, if that's part of the NHL block or what, but that area is always filled with Caps fans or Pens fans or Bruins fans. Take it, you know, whatever. Insert your opponent of, you know, who lived in a horrible, nasty, awful place and decided to relocate to beautiful, luxurious Wake County. I don't know if that's something the Canes have done, if that's something that the NHL requires. But yeah, I mean, that area is always filled with opposing fans. Yeah. And you hit it on the head. Don't let the opposing team score a hat trick, but maybe don't let Ovi tee up from his spot twice. Yeah. Without, you know, someone goes, oh, well, Brett Pesce was just half a second late. I'm like, yeah, him and every other defenseman for the last 13 years.
And there was that one where there was a horrible screen set on Hamilton where it's like, come on, that was interference that absolutely should have been called. But
I believe that to be the turning point of the game. I think the Canes lost some composure there and really.
It was, but you can't let that ruin the game for you. If you are...
Ruin the game for me.
Yeah, if you're a good enough team, you're not going to let that happen. But look, I've said this on this podcast for a few years now. Please at me. I'm at DRessel, DRoessl. Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in NHL history.
But Derek, what about Mike Bossy?
Okay.
Yeah. He's okay. He's fine. He's not. I agree. Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time.
That doesn't. And again, the way that arguments are had in this day and age, that doesn't mean every other player is hot garbage. Like someone has to be the best. And Ovechkin is the best, in my opinion, in hockey history at putting the puck in the net. I know goaltending changes with eras and the way the game plays changes with eras. Merrick and Friedman talked about it in much more insightful terms, no surprise, on the 31 Thoughts podcast last week. But if you take the value of a goal scored across eras, if you say a goal scored in the 80s is worth 0.7 goals today, and you know the way you adjust per era, Ovechkin is averaging more goals per season than any other player ever. He's 33 years old and averaging nearly a goal a game this season. That's stupid.
Here's the crazy part. He's less than 250 goals away from Gretzky. I don't think he's going to catch Gretzky. But I think he catches Hull. And I think he has a chance of catching Jágr. That is phenomenal for a guy who's played his entire career in the dead puck era.
Yeah. I don't know if I think we're, I would say we're out of the dead puck era.
The
I mean, compare today's NHL to oath. Well, no, I don't think he did. He don't. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think he did play in the dead puck era. Because look at 05-06 compared to 03-04.
Yeah, but 05-06 was. I mean, that
was the Wild West.
That's an aberration, though. You go back to, you know, I mean, look at what 2010 and the Boston Bruins or 2011. I mean, that was, you know, the Tim Thomas experience, mm-hmm. and you know, there's just so many teams that just it hasn't been a, you know. It's no longer averaging 9.5 goals a game, right?
No.
We're averaging closer to 7.5 goals a game throughout a season. You know, take that across, you know, 31 teams, 82 games. That's
yep.
That's a lot of goals.
It is. So the other thing that was, I would say, more controversial from that Caps game was what Rod Brind'Amour did in the shootout and who he put out there. Because we're going, okay, Aho had a 4-point night. Right, Turbo had 3, Svechnikov had 2 points or so. Those guys are clearly clicking that night. How many of those guys appeared in the shootout, Mike?
0.0.
Yeah, didn't make a whole lot of sense. Jani Kuokkanen, okay, kind of get it. He's a wild card. The other goalie doesn't know what to expect from him. Braden Holtby hasn't seen Kuokkanen in a shootout. Cool, that's fine. Give the kid a little boost of confidence. Jacob Slavin, okay, he's either going with that backhand roofer or he's not. And the not is really just there to make it seem like he's not going to do backhand roof every single time. DiGiuseppe, I don't know what the hell he did. Justin Williams' shot was terrible. Brock McGinn's shot was terrible. The only guy for the Canes who scored in the shootout was Dougie Hamilton. And he was the only guy who got Braden Holtby moving side to side. Like, Justin Williams' shot confounded me because it was like everything we saw from Eric Staal for so many years in a shootout of... How can you be so money on breakaways and in the shootout you just go down and shoot a wrister into the pads? Like, make the guy move. If you don't make the goalie move first, your odds of scoring drastic go down. And that's even if you add Kurt Angle to the mix.
Derek, you and I were standing there watching each other during the shootout, and I had said, I may have said this to either you or Pat Clark, maybe both. I said, you know, someone needs to do that fake to his glove hand, but then do that slow drag and just kind of do that long reach and push it in. And I said that immediately after the Slavin shot. And then when Dougie did that, I felt vindicated. Brock McGinn has been really, really good in the shootout.
Yep.
You know, Phil DiGiuseppe's been pretty good. Brind'Amour said he went with a hunch. He went with his gut. There's a part of me that says that Brind'Amour had asked for something, particularly during the power play in the overtime, and didn't see it out of his key players, i.e. Svech, Turbo, and Aho. And not putting them out there may have been penance for not listening to what he had asked. And if that were the case, it's a very tough lesson to learn. But maybe he had an ask of somebody who didn't fulfill it, and mm-hmm. His only hammer was ice time.
Yeah, the other thing I don't like is that Brind'Amour was talking about how he sees the shootout as a bonus point, and like, oh, it doesn't matter that much, and blah, 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 blah. Like, no, it's a point. These points do add up. They do matter. The difference at the end of the year could come down to how did your team perform in 3 or 4 shootouts?
Yeah, it's hard to swallow.
It's hard to take the, like, because everybody knows and realizes, like, look, it's a skills competition, right?
We had
it's not real hockey, but if it matters, you have to treat it like it matters as little as you want it to matter.
We had the worst lead in all of hockey, Derek. We had a 3-goal lead at home in the middle of the second period. On a Friday night in front of a nearly packed house.
That is a very specific set of circumstances.
Tell me the last time on a Friday night against a big competitor where we had a 3-goal lead in the middle of the second period where we didn't fumble it, Derek. You can't think of one because it's been so long. So long. You know what it's been so long since? It's also been so long since we've had a member of the Carolina Hurricanes team actually visit us here on the podcast. And rather than hear us drone on any longer, let's go to tonight's very special guest. And Derek, I'm very excited to welcome back... I'm not even welcome back. For the first time, we had a chance to meet him media day before he gave us some good tips for the media ball hockey game. Calvin, unfortunately, none of those worked. Shane Willis was a brick wall that day. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as 44 in your program. He's number one in our hearts. Calvin DeHaan, Carolina Hurricanes defenseman. Calvin, welcome to Cheaters Never Win, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. And you guys?
We are great. Thank you for taking some time out of your day. I know it's as we were talking to some of the PR people, we said, hey, guys, you know, is it a little bit of downtime? Anybody want to come on? And, you know, Sonny quietly reminded us that this might be one of the busiest times of the year because there are so many community interactions, and it was great to see the Canes out in the community today. Were you able to take part in some of the community events today? And what was kind of your take on part of this big Canes community day?
Yeah, so I didn't go to the hospitals today. Some of my teammates and I did the shopping with the kids at Target. So it was fun. It's something different. I've never done that. We did something a little similar in New York, but we didn't actually have the children with us. So it was fun. It's cool. Like the young lad I was with had his mom with him as well. And I don't know, it was just cool to meet, you know, some, you know, and see the smiles on their faces and stuff. And it's a great gesture that, you know, that the Hurricanes organization come up with for these ideas. And it was fun.
That's really cool. And with great gestures and kids, Calvin, you are gaining a reputation quickly here for what you do pregame, hooking up kids with pucks that you sign before the games. How long have you been doing that? And how did that start?
I can't really pinpoint a time, to be honest. I think I kind of just started doing it when I came into the league. You know, it's great to see the young generation, I guess. And it makes me sound so old, but, you know, to see the kids in the stands and, you know, whether they ask for one or not, it's to see the smile on their faces. And, you know, I was one of those kids back in the day, and, it was, you know, I wasn't fortunate enough to get a puck because it's tough to give 18,000 people a puck in warmups when we only have an X amount of them on the ice that we kind of need to use to pass around and stuff too. So, but it just, you know, to see the smiles on their faces, and I try and do it at the away rinks as well. And, you know, I always look for a boy or girl with a Canes jersey on that, you know, is really into the game and into warmups and stuff. So, and at home, obviously, you know, anyone who is, you know, standing by the glass, you know, might get one.
Well, Calvin, we love that. And you mentioned you're feeling like one of the old guys and the old timers. We're just a couple of nights away from everybody feeling like old timers. December 23rd, the Carolina Hurricanes are going to slide on those green whale sweaters for the first time ever. Two parts of the question. What's your take and kind of what's the feel in the locker room around Whalers night? Is there any sort of excitement? Is it just another sweater? What's the general feeling for the team?
I was actually talking to some of the PR people about it today. It's cool that, you know, a lot of these nostalgic logos and jerseys and stuff like that are making a comeback. Like I saw the Ducks wore their Mighty Duck one jerseys the other night. Like, that's cool. You know, we grew up watching those movies and, you know, seeing stuff like that and seeing those old teams. It's pretty cool. I think it's something that I'll be fortunate enough to be a part of. And, you know, I don't know how to really put it into words, but it's going to be a cool event. And, I don't know. There'll be some headlines for sure. I think it's good.
And it won't hurt having Boston in town for that. It feels like a nice Northeast matchup down here, and especially with all the transplants we
exactly.
have. Do you have a favorite throwback jersey that another team hasn't brought out yet that you'd love to see?
Not in particular, but I mean, the Whalers jerseys are sweet. They're pretty cool. Like the Quebec Nordiques jerseys, those are all iconic. I don't know. It's really hard to pinpoint, but you know, there's some old teams that you know, would be pretty sweet for those you know, newer squads to bring back one day. It's cool.
All right, Calvin, you're no longer on the island, so you can answer this question completely honestly. What's your feeling on the Gorton's Fisherman sweater? Iconic and beautiful, worst sweater ever created.
I like the Fisherman's jerseys, yes, to be honest.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I like them. I think they're cool.
Yeah. We love
–
go ahead, sir.
Oh, sorry. It's just – they're just different. It's you know, that was obviously a dark time for the Isles when they were sporting those jerseys. But those I don't know. I really like them. I think they're sweet.
Yeah, the wavy numbers made it a little bit of a problem, but I own a blank Gorton Fisherman Islanders jersey. I think it's a heck of a lot of fun. Also a lot of fun, and also divisive to some old curmudgeonly people, is the post-game celebration that you guys have when you win at home. Do you have anything lined up for when you get to lead the skull clap and lead the team? Have you been throwing any suggestions out there for what fans could see?
No, it's all behind closed doors. Those secrets are locked up. I can't spill the beans on those, and I apologize.
No, we completely understand, Calvin. We love not only the new tradition that everything you guys are doing, but just the amount of anticipation and fun. I'm lucky enough to have a 4-year-old, and as we were watching the game on Sunday against Arizona, he's like, "Daddy, what are they going to do? What are they going to do?" And I was like, "I don't know, kid. I don't know." So I mean, it is really speaking to the fans. Without giving away anything, what was kind of — did you ever do this kind of growing up? Did you guys have crazy celebrations when you were a Bantam, when you were a Mite, when you were doing this, or is this kind of the first time of your career that you've been kind of part of something so great and so organic?
I never really did it in minor hockey, but when I was with the Isles, we always did a yes, yes, yes chant at the end of the game. I don't really know how that always started. I think it started with a wrestler. I don't really follow wrestling in depth, but he was at a game one time and he got it going, and it just kind of stuck for, you know, and they still do it to this day. It's fun. Like, it gets the crowd into it. You know, and love it or hate it, it's creating good public relations for the Hurricanes right now. And I don't know, people are sticking around to see what we're going to do. So it's pretty funny. And, you know, we all get a chuckle out of it too. And it's cool.
I say, hopefully at some point there's pressure of like, we've won so many times at home, what can we possibly do next? I hope you run into that problem.
Yeah, we hope so too. But it's, you know, hopefully the Rolodex has some secrets up the sleeve there, and you know, we'll do something pretty unique one time, hopefully.
So one thing you could do to celebrate is maybe if you knew somebody who, I don't know, happened to own a brewery in just outside of Ottawa, wanted to ask you, how's the brewery coming along, and what's it like to own a brewery when you have a full-time job that might take a little bit of your attention?
We're doing well. We're exceeding our expectations, and well, just from the buzz around town and stuff, and numbers wise too, we're doing really well. We've been open for about 3 months now, and we're trucking along, and we just actually ordered some more tanks so we can up our production a little bit. We've, you know, the demand has been awesome. It's been great. You know, to anyone who is listening that drinks our beer, we appreciate the support, and whoever, you know, still supports us down here in Raleigh, we appreciate it just as much. But it's cool. It's a venture that me and three other buddies just, you know, we were sitting around one day having a beer, and it was just kind of we all kind of just looked at each other, and it's like, maybe we should try this. And you know, that's kind of really how it started, to be honest. And you know, I'm glad I'm doing it when I'm 27 versus, you know, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line. And it's cool. Like, I've never really ventured really business wise outside of hockey. So it's been a really neat venture so far, and I'm learning a ton, still learning. But it's cool. I'm really happy to be trying it. We're doing well too, which definitely helps.
Well, if you need an introduction to Mike Flood over at Arena Concessions, so that way we can get some good Ottawa beer over there in the PNC Arena, let us know. We're on Mike's. We're high on Mike's. No, Mike hates us.
Yeah, we're pretty low on the list, actually. On the list.
So we've done this a couple of times before on the podcast, and it's gone over really well, Calvin. So I'm going to try this again. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what an F, Mary, Kill is, but if I were to throw at you F, Mary, Kill, Labatt's, Molson, Bud Light, where do you stand?
Bat, Molson, Bud Light.
Yeah.
Probably kill the Bud Light.
Okay, we're off to a good start.
And then the next two are a kind of a toss-up, but I'll go with the hardcore Canadian beer. We'll go Mary the Labatt and then date the... Or what's it? Mary Kill...
Yeah.
F. Yeah. F the Molson Canadian and then Mary the Labatt.
I think that is the correct answer. It may only be... Of course. Then you're gonna cheat on Labatt with probably Creemore, but that's fine. It's all well and good.
Yeah, we're now getting into the obscure Ontario beer portion of the podcast, which is just goes over like hotcakes here in Raleigh. Calvin, the last thing I think that I wanted to ask you about is Sarah Sibian of The Athletic asked you guys what your individual goal song would be, and a lot of guys went in some different directions. Some people went Beethoven. Some people went Mo Bamba. You went with a classic Def Leppard tune. What made you choose that song, and would you still stick with that answer today?
Yeah, I think I would stick with that. I told her either Pour Some Sugar on Me or Feels Like the First Time by Foreigner. goals come a little few and far between, and so I thought that'd be pretty funny. But either or. So she wrote the Pour Some Sugar on Me, but I think that'd be pretty hilarious if we did that. It'd be cool. It'd be something different. And I don't know. It's bringing a little life and fun to the Hurricanes organization. And, you know, I think a lot of that starts with our captain as well. He's kind of preached that since training camp, really. And we have a really good bunch of guys. I don't know. It's fun. It's a fun team to be a part of.
It's been fun to watch this team in the stands. It's been a little bit of an up and down season, Calvin, but we've got a couple of big home games coming up. Detroit on Thursday night, Boston, I believe Pittsburgh's coming into town as well. Pittsburgh, a team that's just starting to find their way. What can you say to Caniac Nation? We've got three big games right here around the holidays. What's the feeling in the locker room? What can we do to make sure that we're filling the building for the next three nights leading up to Whalers night? What are the fans be ready to come out and see? What's the talk in the locker room? Are we feeling three wins here building on Arizona? I know we are. I'm throwing softballs here, Calvin.
You know, I think playing against these three teams coming up, you know, Detroit's obviously, you know, doing well too. You know, like a lot of the hockey experts, quote unquote, you know, didn't really have them, you know, competing for a Stanley Cup this season, but you know, they're playing 500 hockey. That's, you know, in Eastern Conference right now, that's, the way things are going. It's, you know, they're still in a dogfight for a playoff spot. You know, obviously Pittsburgh, Boston, like those teams are, you know, you can't say anything bad about Pittsburgh. When you have Crosby and Malkin on your team, you're going to have a good chance of winning every night. And, you know, Boston with their top line, and, you know, they're getting really good goaltending from Jaroslav Halak right now. And, you know, they're solid team. They're all solid teams from, you know, top to bottom. But I think, you know, doing our best to obviously on a home stand here to close out, you know, basically the first half of the season, getting 5-4 points out of the six games is realistic against this competition. And, you know, obviously six would be a total bonus, but, you know, you got to be realistic at the same time. But the way we've been playing, I think we give ourselves a chance every night. It's a fun team. It's a fun system to play. You know, I've really enjoyed it so far, but I think, you know, if we can, you know, get a couple wins here before the break or before the Christmas break, I think it'll set us up nicely going into the new year.
Well, Calvin, we are excited to have you as part of this team. You are absolutely one of our favorite additions, new personalities, and really a stalwart back there on the blue line. So we can't say thank you enough for taking some time out of your day.
Yeah, and in addition to wishing you luck in the next three games as far as getting some wins, I'd like to wish you special luck that everyone you play against between now and Christmas keeps their stick down.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. My eyeball's all right, though. I'm going to live.
Hey, man.
I got pretty lucky.
Player.
So.
He's a hockey player. It's shocking. There's Carolina Hurricanes are famous for having great pictures of a guy with one eye. that lead to a really nice long playoff run. So hopefully that's the case this season. Calvin, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day. He is at Cal DeHaan over on the Twitter machine. He's over on Instagram. Calvin, again, being a community leader, a stalwart, did some Toys for Tots, was out there with the kids on at Target today. Calvin, that touches our heart, and thank you for being such an integral part of not only this team but this community. And we hope you have a great Christmas, sir.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to you as well, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. Calvin DeHaan, absolutely one of our favorites. And again, Derek immediately vaulting up to the top of the list of Carolina Hurricanes I'd like to have a beer with. And one of the things, I mean, and again, I know we've personally harped on it maybe more than we even deserve to on this podcast. Coming into Raleigh, actively taking a commitment into the community, not just the community around him and where he grew up, but doing things outside of the Carolina Hurricanes with Toys for Tots and, you know, doing the thing at Target today, which is part of the team. But so many little things that he's doing adds up to the player that he's been. Again, has been good for us on the ice. Some folks would say he, you know, but I think... to quote Dennis Green, he is who we thought he was, which is a solid, steady 3-4 defenseman who is going to bring this team exactly what it needs. And is really, I've noted, I felt like in the last couple of games, really coming into his own. Had a great game against Arizona the other night. And Calvin DeHaan just really starting to solidify himself in this lineup in Raleigh.
Yeah. I'm just looking at it like, yeah.
This is the part where your improv training comes in, Derek, and I go, and then?
No, I've stopped doing improv, so it's just yes. It's no longer yes and.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes. Arizona game, Derek, 3-0. Peter Mrazek shutout. Peter Mrazek 1-0 with a 0.0 goals against average, a 1,000 save percentage since coming out and railing against cheaters never win. May God have mercy on his soul.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we I mean, if that's the results that you're going to get, we hope that you know, Warren Fogel comes out and just absolutely detests and tell us to stop the goalie chant, so that way he can go on an Ovechkin like a goal bender.
I will say though, I draw the line if any player besmirches Meg's Hurricane watches, unless that player then gets a hat trick every night. Like, if you're going to go ahead and set a league record, okay.
Yeah, I mean, what if Teuvo Teravainen comes out against Meg's Hurricane watches and then goes on to score 113 goals in the season?
I'll be all right with it.
I think you would.
I think I'd be all right with it.
I mean, and the thing is, like, Meg would have to keep it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cane of uncertainty. Can he score in his 74th consecutive game? Who knows?
Who knows? The Arizona game, I mean, the first period of the Arizona game was just like, and the second period was kind of like, okay, a little bit better.
That Svech goal, though.
And the Svech goal was just beautiful. And we go back, and I think that was maybe what this team needed, right? After, you know, kind of so many fireworks on Friday night against Washington, maybe we just needed a grind-it-out, 3-period, nothing fancy, you know, kind of just back to work game where let's go and beat Arizona and find ways to do it. And it seems like what they did. Mrazek played a phenomenal game.
Yes.
Congratulations to him on his first shutout as a Carolina Hurricane. Hopefully the first of many. Hopefully no one ever scores on him ever again after he came out and railed. Again, we apologize for having to bump Peter Mrazek this week. We hope to have him on maybe next week's episode of Cheaters Never Win. Derek, we got a couple of big games coming up. Detroit, Pittsburgh, Boston being Whalers night. We talked about that with Calvin a little bit. Here's what worries me. The Pittsburgh game, we know we're going to come out strong for. The Whalers game, we know there's going to be a lot of anticipation there. Is the trap game the Detroit game?
No.
No?
I don't think any of these are trap games because Detroit is after a three-day layoff. And Detroit's not too bad in the standings. When Calvin said something about, you know, Detroit's kind of in that fighting for a playoff spot thing, I was like, that's fun. But then I looked at the standings like, huh, surprise, the National Hockey League player knows the National Hockey League standings better than the guy just on the microphone talking about it. And Detroit has the same number of points that we do, I think, like within one or so. So they're basically right there where we are. I think if the Detroit game were flip-flop with the Pittsburgh game and it was the night before the Boston game, I'd say, yes, that could be the trap game. But I think you play that one, then you have that night off, and then it's back-to-back bangers with Pittsburgh and Boston.
Bangers with Pittsburgh and Boston.
There you go.
I like it. Pittsburgh's an interesting team, right? You know, the DeSmith kid has come in and played gold and kind of settled a little bit there for Pittsburgh. Malkin seems to be doing Geno Malkin things again. I want the Pittsburgh thing to be over, right? I want this. Pittsburgh is like the New England Patriots of football, right? They're really good. They get a couple of really amazing players, and we're like, yep, this is the year they finally fall off. And is it?
Damn it. No.
I mean, I've heard so many rumors this year about the Phil Kessel trade to bring in another young sniper. Derek, so I ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trade a defenseman that Jim Rutherford covets for Philip J. Kessel?
But I don't know who he would covet that we would want to get rid of.
Brett Pesce.
Yeah.
So you trade Brett Pesce for Philip Kessel.
If you're telling me that trade is straight up.
One for one. It is a one for one, a player for player trade.
Done.
Interesting.
Done.
Phil Kessel, known hot dog lover. No.
Yeah. You mean to tell me, Mike, that you, Mike Flanagan, aren't excited to try to get Mike Sondheim on the horn to go shoot a video with Phil Kessel eating hot dogs at the Cardinal? You mean to tell me that wouldn't, you know, raise your jollies a bit?
Best hot dog in Raleigh, the Cardinal on the Northwest Street in Raleigh. Don't at me. You order it with beer onions, regular onions, chili slaw. And
oh, you're ordering it with two different types of onions on the same dog?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that you weren't saying either or.
No, two different types of onions. I'm a double onion type of guy. Mm. But don't. You can at me all you want, and you'll be wrong.
So what you're saying, if you're ordering dogs with two types of onions, is don't get in the car with you after.
You can. It's fine. Just
put the window down.
Because if I'm leaving the Cardinal, I'm probably taking a bird because it's close to my house, and I may have had a beverage or two.
You know Dewey's still apply on a bird, right?
One or two, and I've had a hot dog. Leave me alone. Derek, speaking of beverages, do we want to talk about the beverages now?
Yeah, may as well. Let's do that, and let's hit the beverage, then let's hit the cheat mail.
I like that idea.
All right, let's do it. So, stored into Bottle Mix today. Mike, you know where Bottle Mix is. They're on Creedmoor Road.
They have that big sign out front that says, when you hate your family, turn left here.
I don't think that's exactly the wording.
If you hate your family, turn left about 3 miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall on Creedmoor Road. It's right there by the Wendy's or the Dunkin' Donuts or the Jiffy yes. Lube. In there.
Yeah, don't get your beverages at Jiffy Lube. Get those at Bottle Mix. Actually, don't even get your oil change at Jiffy Lube. Don't do anything there because they're not paying us.
No.
So go somewhere else, unless you work at Jiffy Lube, and thanks for listening. But if you're heading into Bottle Mix like I did today, and I picked out a beer, and we had some folks that listened to the podcast and said, does Bottle Mix sell wine? Hell yeah, they sell wine. They have wine by the glass, so you can drink a glass of wine while you shop for wine. So go do that. But I picked up a New Belgium Brut IPA. This just came in. They didn't even have a shelf tag for it yet. And I was like, I got to try this. It looks good. New Belgium does some really good stuff. It's part of their Up Next series. And it says, this beer is bubbly, dry, crisp, and refreshing. Brut IPAs inspired by our favorite sparkling wines. With hints of tropical fruit and champagne, this effervescent brew is the perfect cheers to the new year. So I've done a lot of dark beers lately. Mike's been very happy about that, but wanted to mix it up a little bit. You know, thinking ahead towards New Year's, you're thinking bubbly. And more beers are using champagne yeast and things like that to kind of do a dry, crisp, bubbly, refreshing style of beer. And this is absolutely in there. Mike's taking a picture of some sort while I'm talking here. But anyway, this beer, it's a very light gold color. It's perfectly clear. It has some nice bubbles raising to the top. It smells dry. It's crisp. There is a little bit of that yeastiness that you get out of good sparkling wine that's present here, but also some like resiny hop. So this is a beer that's really good for IPA lovers, or if you just like crisp, dry beverages. I think you would like this a lot. The taste is very nice. I forget what hops are used in here. I was looking on their website. It's got Huel Melon, Nelson Savin, Azaka, Citra, and Amarillo hops. So a nice blend of some things that are a little earthy, a little bit spicy, a little bit fruity. It's 6.7% alcohol. It's about $2 a bottle. Really, really delicious. Highly recommend it. Again, get all your beers there if you're looking for things like this, or if you want a big special dark bourbon barrel-aged beer for the cold nights that are certainly coming, or you just want something to take the edge off a holiday night, or you want a good bottle of wine for yourself as a gift or some champagne for New Year's, go to Bottle Mix. They will take great care of you.
Well, and not only that, Derek, so as you know, I'm not much of an IPA lover. I prefer beer that sucks the light out of the room, but mm-hmm. but this whole brute IPA thing, I'm kind of enjoying it. It's different. Like you said, it's the crispness of it cuts. I feel like it cuts away from some of just the thick, resiny awfulness that most IPAs have.
See how it's not awfulness. I'm definitely enjoying that, like that piney, sticky. Mm.
But I feel like it balances it out. So kudos to the good folks over at New Belgium who this brewed IPA I took a taste of, really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And also, Derek, I don't know if you've noticed, I was buying during the Arizona game, got the little 4-year-old. I was down at the PDQ stand getting the chicken fingers because, you know, chicken fingers are gods to a 4-year-old.
I've heard that rumor.
I noticed something new. New Belgium now in the arena.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed them there. We actually reached out to our buddy Chris Allen, and Chris said, brand new Belgium in the arena. So again, while it feels like a big macro brew, all of their beers I know are actually brewed locally out in Asheville at their kind of East Coast headquarters. So,
New Belgium's employee owned. They are craft beer. They've made our tailgates a hell of a lot of fun. So if you're in the arena and you don't want to be on the Bud Light dilly dilly cam because you want to drink good beer, go get some Fat Tire. I think they have that at like the convenience store, whatever the hell they call that in the arena. And then they got Voodoo Ranger IPA, which I love Voodoo Ranger. So there's more good beer to drink in the arena. So grab some of those.
And when you're not at the arena, go to Bottle Mix. Again, about a mile south of Foul 40 on Craigmore Road. And get all of your beer, your wine. Now's also a great time to go ahead and stock up for that New Year's party. And get all of that stuff in your belly and in your face hole. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but instructions for us are booze. Goes in the booze hole.
Yeah. Shout out to Canalytics.
Shout out to our buddy Canalytics. Cheat mail, Derek?
Yeah, we do have a few.
Not a lot. We were a little late getting it out because, again, after we had the option to pull Calvin DeHaan into this week's podcast, we had to make some changes. So our apologies for getting that out late, Derek. But I'll hand off the cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. First question, Derek.
All right, this is from our buddy Take Warning 1819. F Mary Kill. Shootout lineup based on performance in team practices. Shootout lineup based on performance against other teams. Shootout lineup based on shaking up a bag of Chex Mix and pulling out bagel chips or pretzel sticks.
I'm killing bagel chips and pretzel sticks because you, sir, are a freaking monster. The only Chex Mix worth eating is cheddar Chex Mix. Don't at me.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Okay, hold on. Finish this question. I have a bonus F. Mary Kill for you.
Okay. So I'm killing the Chex Mix. I am running with the current performance. I am marrying that, and I'm going to F the one against the current team because
you mean
I think
the practice?
It was practice and current team.
No, it was performance against other teams or in team practices were the other two.
I will marry practice and I will F teams because you can only do that so many times with the teams until patterns begin to emerge.
So bonus F, marry, kill.
Okay. This one comes in from at D. Russell.
Cheddar Chex Mix.
Okay.
Traditional Chex Mix. Bold Chex Mix.
I am marrying cheddar, effing bold, killing traditional.
You were so close to being right.
Not that there's anything wrong with traditional. It's just that of those three, it is the least of the choices.
Yeah, I agree. It's the least of the choices, but the other way around, the bold Chex Mix is the way to go because they just...
Derek, when you need to spice up your life, you go bold. You don't spice up your life on a daily basis. You need to have some consistency in your life.
But there's nothing...
Cheddar Chex Mix is consistency.
The amount of Worcestershire that's soaked up in the rye in the round in the bold Chex Mix, that's the best bite of any Chex Mix.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even want to argue with you.
I didn't say anything stupid like the turtle Chex Mix.
Derek, this one comes in from our buddy at David at underscore David Teague.
Respect the underscore.
Is it humbug to ask for a coach with NHL experience for the new year?
In this case, yes. In previous cases, no. But I think, look, Brendan Moore is new and doesn't have the most talented team in the world. Give it time. The new guy in Chicago ain't doing worth a damn. He's doing a hell of a lot worse and has arguably a more talented roster.
Also, the Carolina Hurricanes are without two of their top nine in Jordan Staal and Michael Ferland and have been for quite some time.
Yep.
So, also a guy that we had penciled into the top nine coming into the season, one Martin Nechas, who's doing really well in Charlotte, currently has 0 points in his last 10 games for the Canes.
Yep.
So, those of us who may have said Martin Nechas was going to come in the top three in the Calder vote, I wish me luck.
Yeah. Good luck, Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
This one comes to us from Crento underscore.
Respect that underscore, even if it is late.
So I've got to describe this picture without giving away the answer. So he has sent us a picture of headwear that is most commonly associated with winter. It is it's typically folded over all the way around the bottom of it, has a logo on it, sometimes can have a pom-pom on top, sometimes could not. You can probably picture it. Go to his Twitter feed, at Crento, K-R-E-N-T-O underscore, and look at this, this piece of headwear. Mike, what is this thing worn on one's head called? Is it A, a beanie, B, a knit cap, C, a toboggan, D, something else?
C, it is a toboggan.
Mike, I feel like there should be confetti. We agree.
Yes, yes. Confetti should rain down. It is a toboggan. A knit cap doesn't roll up like that. And a beanie is something that a beatnik wears, and beatniks don't wear that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a toboggan. Even if that were not the correct answer, and it is, by the process of elimination, it would still be a toboggan.
It's a toboggan. Thank you for that question. I look forward to everyone telling us how wrong we are because it's a took and blah 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 blah. No, it's a toboggan. Also, a toboggan can also be a type of sled. It can be two things.
Yes.
Duck can be both a noun and a verb.
But here's the thing, Derek. It's also a toque, but only if you reside in and are currently standing within the great state of Kanakistan. Derek, this one comes from our buddy Caniac176. You may know him better as Dan McLaughlin. F. Mary Kill, Elf Edition. Santa's elf. I'm assuming he's going elf on the shelf, so I'm going to use that. I'm going to take a little bit of leeway here. Elf on the shelf, magical hockey elf, Elf the movie. This might be the easiest. All right, so F. Mary Kill ever.
This is F. Mary Kill, Elf on the Shelf.
Yes, Santa's elf.
Hockey elf, Elf the movie.
Yes.
Okay. Killing Elf on the Shelf.
Correct.
I mean, my God, that's the easiest of the three options there.
Thanos actually did that for us.
Good. Thank you, Thanos. I am going to marry Elf the movie, and I'm going to F Elf the movie, and I'm going to marry the hockey elf.
That I mean, and that's easy, right?
Because it's length of seasons. I don't want to watch Elf the movie all year long.
Right. I mean, a little bit here and there. Maybe it's late.
Yeah.
You know, you're
it's just great to watch once or twice a year.
Right. Once or. I can't.
All right.
I'm not. I won't do it. I'm looking through. I don't know if we have any other.
That's it. It was a light day.
Shout out to our buddy Chris Allen, who wants Calvin DeHaan to holler at him so that way he can give him some of that good. I'm assuming he's talking about that New Belgium since he is part of that employee-owned New Belgium there. So thank you, Chris Allen. We would also like some of that good here at the Worldwide Headquarters. Feel free to bring it by. And folks, when we say bring it by, we would highly encourage you to bring yourself by to Section 328 I know during the holidays, some of us have some travel, so it's not going to be necessarily a full cadre of everybody over the next couple of games. But I know if you come by during the Boston game, I should be there. Derek, I believe you have games in the middle there where folks can come by Rosie and
I'm not. I'm not going to be there for a little while.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to see us, come by Rosie, Section 328. Say hi. Wish us a happy holidays, a belated happy Hanukkah, a happy Kwanzaa, a Merry Festivus, a Happy New Year. Hell, just come by and say, hey, I hate the podcast and you guys are freaking idiots, because it means, whether you know it or not, it means something to us that you take just a few minutes out of your day to actually listen to what the two of us yokels have to say.
It's an honor just to be nominated, Mike.
Exactly. Thank you to Calvin DeHaan. Also a big thank you and a shout out to Mike Sondheim, who work to not only get Calvin DeHaan and Peter Mrazek on the podcast this week. Again, our apologies for having to bump Mr. Mrazek. We hope to have you on a future episode. Cheaters Never Win, section328.com. If you've listened to us on the regular but you haven't reviewed us recently and you like what you're doing, reviews are really helpful because that helps new people find the podcast. Stitcher, iTunes. So if you don't listen on iTunes, but maybe you listen on Google Play, you listen on Stitcher, or you listen on Podomatic, reviews there also help. We know those take time and you got to do stuff like sign in and do stuff and type stuff up and wait for it to approve and all that stuff. But it really does mean a lot to us, and we read every one of them. Unlike those commie bastards over at Cheaters Never, over at Kane's Cast, we won't beat on people for giving us and say we won't be your friends for leaving us a bad review. We'll just try to figure out ways to get better. We still look forward to the day that those two good-for-nothings actually show up. Mike Maniscalco.
I've heard insulting someone is a really great way
Mike
to
Maniscalco
endear yourself.
Wanted to be here tonight, but he had some interview he had to do with some Aho guy at like a Kane's Corner or something. So I hope that went well for you guys.
Classic Big Rig.
Yeah, classic Big Rig, big time in all of us. Shout out to the Big Rig. Shout out to everybody who's actually talking Kane's hockey. The folks over at Kane's Country, the folks over at Redvolution Rampage Podcast. Anybody who's out there talking about Kane's hockey, more Kane's hockey talk is better. Listen to a bunch of podcasts. Find your favorites. Support them. Do what you got to do. We've been fortunate enough to be supported by a lot of folks for a long time, and we say this a lot, but we really do appreciate it. If you aren't supporting us and you want to, patreon.com/section328, go to section328.com, click on that buy on Amazon button for your early Super Bowl TV, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because if you're buying a TV on Amazon, that might throw like a whole nickel to us, which would be awesome. Anyway, guys, again, we appreciate it. Thank you to the entire Section 328 staff who helps us bring you the content, the t-shirts, and all of that stuff. And a very serious Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everybody has a very happy, healthy holiday season. I feel blessed to not only have friends like Derek across the way from me, but I know we've had a lot of friends who have had a really tough 2018. So you know who you are. Shout out to you guys, because 2019 is your year. You're going to kick ass. And thank you for reminding all of us that we're lucky to do what we do every single day. So, Derek, this glass is to you, my friend.
Cheers,
I preach
sir.
A lot. I love you guys. Love you guys on the other side of the mic and the folks in the room. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
Merry Christmas, y'all. We'll see y'all on the other side. Pew!